And I am so glad to have my next guest on the line, Joanne. We connected. Mercury's out of Mercury in retrograde, and we were able to connect. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. That was, you know, every travel nightmare you can imagine.
Well, let's back it up and explain to people. First, I mean, I'm so glad to have a fellow musician friend who actually was trying to get everything together to be on my show while Mercury was in retrograde. She's was actually doing a musical project on the Big Island, and it was very exciting. And we were planning to have a conversation, but you want to just briefly explain what happened, because this is a travel show, and it's always interesting to explain when things kind of don't fall into line when you're traveling with Mercury in retrograde.
Well, you know, they've been doing a lot of construction at LAX, and it's really impacted everyone getting to and from the airport. So a friend of mine and I were traveling together, and the first thing that happened was two taxis declined to show up and take us down there. So finally we got a Lyft driver who was willing to go down to the airport. And so we got down to the airport like almost an hour later than we expected, and we hit total gridlock. We just could not get there in time, and by the time we ran up to the Hawaiian gate agent to check in, she said we had missed the cutoff for our checked luggage.
Oh no.
So then she was furiously trying to rebook us on, you know, any other flight that would get us in you know, that day or early the next morning. And there was, you know, at that short notice, there was nothing available. So they finally booked us to fly in on Wednesday. And with the time zone changes and everything, they had strung together a flight from LAX to Maui and then Maui to the Big Island. And somehow, you know, we wound up on the wrong connecting flight from Maui. And so literally the time I was supposed to do the interview the first time, I was literally sitting on a plane on the runway in Maui waiting to take off and go to the Big Island.
It's amazing. Well, you are an amazing musician and flautist. I've been following you on Facebook, and truthfully, we've never met. But I kind of feel like I know you from a lot of your posts. And you know, you have some great, great pieces out there. And the latest single you have that's the latest one, is the Dark Goddess for flute and strings, right?
Right. So all the other things that I've released up to this point have featured me playing more of the Native American flutes and world flutes, and they fall sort of randomly into Native American, New Age, world, surf crossover, when you talk about Lava Walker. But in the on the back burners, what I've been sitting on for a couple of years were these various classical projects, because my original background is as a classical musician, and I play in the Beach City Symphony. I'm the principal flute there.
Where's the Beach City?
Beach Cities is in Redondo Beach, California.
Really? And there's a classical group there called Beach Cities, and you play
Beach Cities. Mm-hmm.
And it's a little chamber group, or is it an orchestral group, or with more than
it's a symphony orchestra.
Wow.
And they draw a lot of their players from the aerospace industry.
You're kidding.
That was their original That was their origin story. There's a lot of local symphonies here in Los Angeles, which started out gathering their members from people in different professions. So there was a doctor's symphony, and Beach City Symphony drew from the aerospace industry because it's right down there in the aerospace tech corridor down there in El Segundo, Redondo Beach, Torrance, that
amazing
area.
Amazing. I did not know that. My gosh, how nice. So your classical background is really a far away from doing your latest Lava Walker live with Susan Surftone. in Kona. What a span, an expanse of different musical styles.
Yeah, Dark Goddess was an interesting project because when I record classical things, I'm always looking for world premiere recordings. I don't have a real need to re-record something that somebody else has done. I'd rather bring new pieces into the world that no one has heard before. And with Dark Goddess, it's a piece for solo flute and string orchestra. And the composer is a British composer named David W. Solomon. And he had approached me about recording that a while back, and I said yes, and it had been on the back burner. And I finally gathered myself together and decided to record it. And when I first started looking at this piece, I thought, you know, how am I going to assemble a small chamber orchestra in Los Angeles and sort of the logistics and the cost? And that's when I realized that we are now in the world of global virtual recording. And I wound up recording the flute part here in Los Angeles with a studio that I like to work with. And I recorded the orchestra part using the St. Petersburg, Russia Symphony.
How did you connect with the St. Petersburg, Russia Symphony? Now, is that all done online?
That was all done online. So I had been, I mean, for all the criticism one might have of social media and Facebook, there are a lot of musicians doing business on Facebook, and I had noticed a post from Matthew Schell Music, who specializes in virtual recording.
Wow.
And I had approached him about getting some musicians lined up for my next project, Sweet Esmeralda, and he said, oh, by the way, if you need to add strings to that, you know, I'm connected with the St. Petersburg, Russia Symphony.
Amazing.
And yes, yeah, so this was sort of my first, not only my first experience being a classical producer, but working with virtual recording. And wow, there's some ups and downs with that, because you're dealing with trying to talk to people in different time zones.
And different languages.
different languages. So I was working with an Italian audio engineer, working with, you know, Russian symphony. And the way it works, you kind of live and learn, is that to keep the price down, instead of paying for an entire hour of an entire orchestra's time, they line up the a bunch of different songs that they're going to record the string parts to, and so you only pay for your 10-minute segment or whatever of their time, and that makes it much more affordable. You know, I was able to hire an entire symphony for the price it would have cost me to just get a string quartet.
That's amazing. Amazing. And you gave them all the different tracks and what to record and pieces, and then they recorded it. And they recorded first, and then did you put the flute over that? Or did you record the flute first, and then they put it?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So the way this piece is written, the flute starts, really sets the tempo. So I recorded the flute part here with a click track, which for classical music, you actually have to customize the click track because you speed up, you slow down,
oh my gosh,
you pause. So you have to work with your recording engineer to time the click. So it's just like a conductor is conducting.
Wow.
You know, getting faster and slower.
Huh.
So we had a classical variable click built in, and the way the recording session works is the musicians all have headphones and they're listening to that click track and the flute part. And the conductor is listening to that
Amazing.
Click track and the flute part. And that's how they sync it up. So
I love it. I love it.
They sent all the string tracks back to me. And one of the lessons I learned was when you get back 16 or 18 string tracks and somewhere outside the studio door, somebody walked really loudly with their shoes and then maybe warmed up on their clarinet because they were in a like a music conservatory building. you have to take out those footsteps.
Oh my.
And that clarinet in the distance who ignored the, you know, quiet, we're recording sign. You have to take that out of all the tracks.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. So a good engineer is needed. A very good engineer.
Yes. So the thing I've learned about producing myself is that however much time you think you're going to spend on noise removal, multiply that by 10.
It's a huge thing. Yeah, absolutely.
It's all about, when you're recording, you know, live musicians, it's all about noise removal. That's like most of my time in mixing is noise.
Well,
removal.
You know, there's a long way. I mean, you play a lot of different kinds of flute, but when you're doing something that like that with a symphony orchestra, how do you choose your flute? How many flutes do you own?
You know, when it comes to classical flutes, you know, I have all the usual concert flute, alto flute, piccolo, bass flute. But then I have all the world flutes, and I have dozens of Native American flutes, at least a dozen of various kinds of Asian bamboo flutes, bansuri and sulings and things like that. I've got a growing collection of Irish flutes and whistles. I just got called to play a Celtic Christmas piece in December, and I had to acquire Irish whistles in 4 new keys that I didn't already have. So, you know, the collection grows, and then I have all of the, I have ocarinas, and I have a Chinese shun.
So you have a flute room. You literally have a room full of flutes.
Yes, my office is beginning to look like a storage place for flutes. There's flutes everywhere, flutes in bags, flutes on stands, flutes on the couch. You can't sit anywhere except on the computer chair because there's flutes everywhere.
Well, at least when you travel, it's a lot easier to carry on with the flute than it is a bass, stand-up bass or something, you know? So,
you know, it's a little bit smaller.
Yes.
But some of the flutes, the world flutes especially, you know, they don't fold up.
Uh-huh.
So I've got world flutes that are almost to 3 feet long.
Wow.
So
that's
big. Can be challenging.
Yes, it can.
To carry them on the plane, because I have some hard shell travel cases for them. And by the time you add up all the flutes in different keys, while it's smaller than a string bass, it's about as heavy.
Really?
So,
well,
we only
have about 7 minutes left. And I want to actually, maybe just actually less than that, I'm sorry. But we only have about 5 minutes left. So I want to talk about your lava walker here, because you came over, and I don't know how you met Susan Surftone from the surf rock group Susan and the Surftones, but somehow you connected and decided to come here to Kilauea. Well, it was actually your first trip was to Kilauea in the 1980s, but what was lava walker about, and how did you get to do that?
Well, I met Susan Surftone through the Indie Collaborative here in Los Angeles, and she heard me introducing a song, a different song on a Native American flute, and talking about how much I enjoyed that earlier trip to Hawaii and got to experience, you know, walking out when the lava is still hot. And we recorded Lava Walker. She was inspired to write the guitar part, and then I added the flute part to that, and it was all completely improvised, actually, live in a concert setting. And it turned out so well that we decided we were going to re-record it in the studio, and I was planning a trip back to the Big Island and wanted to shoot some contemporary video of me with a flute out there on the lava, and also down by the ocean as part of the surf tone part of it. So there's both ocean scenes and lava scenes, all cooled lava right now. And so those will go in the new video for the studio version of
now,
Lava Walker.
How'd you record that? What did you bring a camera with you to record some of that, or was that done with your iPhone, or how'd you do that?
I upgraded my iPhone, and I got a handheld gimbal mount.
Uh-huh.
And I recruited my brother to follow me around
awesome.
With my iPhone. And, you know, just the timing being close to Thanksgiving and all, it was really difficult to find a videographer who was available at that time. So my brother very graciously agreed to follow me around with my phone on a gimbal mount, and we will see how that turns out.
So were you shocked at what happened and how the landscape had changed after this last lava flow out there?
I was really overwhelmed by, you know, sort of the extent of the new lava flows, because I went down to Chain of Craters Road and went out a little bit on the cooler, older lava flows that they let you go out on now, and, you know, just saw seas of frozen lava in all directions, so, and also a lot of the damage around the rim of Kilauea as well, you know, so much had changed, and, you know, just realizing this is sort of the island of Hawaii going through, you know, growth changes.
Yes.
And just seeing how much everything had changed since the last time I'd been there. It was really impressive.
Yes, definitely. And being here and thinking then and now, and then also being able to do this piece of music must have inspired some of the things you were thinking when you were playing.
Yeah, it was, you know, I draw a lot of my musical ideas from things that I've seen or experiences that I've had, or sometimes even stories that I've read about or places I've visited, and the non-musical idea always comes to me first, and then the musical song basically retells that story or repaints that picture with music.
Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I appreciate the fact that you have this huge collection of flutes, because then it broadens your possibilities of your ideas to be able to play with the thoughts that go with different ideas and different flutes, of course. And the flute is so close to the soul, in my opinion. I mean, you know, Krishna and everything. You think of flute as speaking from the soul and the heart and soul. So, I mean, it's a lovely instrument, and you're really able with what you've got to be able to create anything you wish to create. And obviously now you have everything from St. Petersburg to Kilauea, you know, and in between and beyond. And the next project, we only have like a minute left, but the next one is in the works as well, right?
Yes, I'm recording Sweet Esmeralda, which is for flute and jazz piano. And I'm going to be adding bass and drums remotely for that. So, you know, I've got a lot of musical style variety and the choices of flutes. Where when I do my next solo project, I'll be looking at some of my collection of bamboo flutes and creating something that features a song or two on probably 10 or 12 different bamboo flutes. So I really have a palette of flute sounds
you do
to choose from.
What's the best website people can find out more about you and download some of your music?
That would be www.kokopele.la, KOKOPELLI.LA. Or you can find me on CD Baby, Amazon MP3, and basically every streaming service, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, I'm everywhere.
Well, I thank you for calling in. I so appreciate it, and I'll meet you at the Grammys there, okay?
All right. I look forward to meeting you in person finally.
Thank you, and a big aloha. Happy Thanksgiving.
Aloha. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Aloha.